would be a very hard act to follow. I'm going to take the chairman's prerogative as a Washingtonian and tell at least one Wilbur Mills joke, which are making the rounds with a great deal of regularity down there. It seemed that the night of the famous incident, two policemen went to the door of the Mills apartment, knocked on the door. The lady answered the door, and they said, "Mrs. Mills?" "Yes." "Mrs. Mills, I'm afraid we have both good news and bad news for you." She said, "Well, tell me the good news first." "Well, ma'am, the good news is that we've just arrested your husband for drunk and disorderly conduct. He's broken his glasses, his face is all cut up and bloody. He's in jail, and there's going to be a great deal of adverse publicity for it." She said, "Well, if that's the good news, what's the bad news?" "Well, I'm sorry, ma'am, but we're going to have to break your leg." we'll skip the other one, should we? The subject of the future of representative government in the United States is, I think, going to bring us back to reality after a very lively luncheon session. With the recent election results, I think there are both broad and more narrow issues that our two participants today will be discussing. In terms of the broader issues that I think will be impinging on the political process, that whose ramifications have not yet been felt, I think of things like the new Campaign Reform Act that goes into effect on January 1st that is going to totally alter the political funding structure and hence the whole structure of the political system. It's basically a protect the incumbent bill to such an extent that it's been rumored that Senator Buckley, Eugene McCarthy, and the Conservative Party of New York are getting together to file an early suit against the bill on various grounds. We all know about George Meany and his veto-proof Congress. Let me just cite what Mr. Meany said in a letter to every Democrat member yesterday morning. He was addressing the Democrat caucus, which will be meeting on December 2 to 4, and he said in his letter to the Democrat members of the House of Representatives, among other things, "We urge the caucus to adopt a procedure providing that when the Ways and Means, that when a committee seeking a closed rule from the Rules Committee, a path normally taken by Ways and Means, if a significant number of members of the committee support a germane amendment, the Democratic members of the Rules Committee must make such an amendment in order." In other words, another opportunity for, in effect, a majority of the Democrats in the Democrat caucus to bind all the Democrats and hence bind the House of Representatives, kind of King Caucus in operation again. On some other issues that our speakers will, I know, be addressing themselves today, one of the key questions that has come out of the recent political elections are the future role of the Republican Party. Let me give you a quote from David Broder, usually regarded as a fairly insightful political commentator. This one, however, is 10 days before the election, Sunday, October 27. He's talking about several elections, the prospects for them. He says, quote, "It is the story of a continuing, gradual realignment of the two major parties, a slow shift year by year that is making Republican office holders more consistently conservative across the country and is turning the Democrats in the liberal direction, south as well as north." I know that our speakers will be addressing themselves as to whether, in fact, that is the way the Republican Party is moving. Whether when we get a distinguished member of this society, who I think is present here today, David Friedman, writing in the Ripon Forum, together with Lou Euler, special assistant to Governor Reagan, and the Ripon Forum actually calling for less government, whether that's the future of the Republican Party or whether it's the Kevin Phillips analysis that the Republican Party is basically dead as a vehicle for the future. We are very lucky today to have two very capable speakers address themselves to these key questions. They're both known, I think, by just about everybody in the room, both by reputation and personally. Our first speaker, Howie Phillips, was the student body president at Harvard, founding member of Young Americans for Freedom. Then he had a slight chink in his armor when he went to work for Dick Schweiker in 1968 that has to be reminded of every once in a while. Then he went on, of course, with a very famous career at OEO, where I think at one time I calculated that 63% of the people I knew in Washington were working for him. I think one or two still are over there. They lasted a little longer than Howie, but that's another story. He is now chairman of the Public Monitor, the American Conservative Union, and Will is also heading up something called Conservative Caucus, which I'm sure he will be telling us about. Our second speaker, Professor Donald Devine, political scientist at the University of Maryland, was educated at St. John's, City University of New York, and received his doctorate at the Maxwell School at Syracuse University. He's the author of several books, the most recent of which is The Political Culture of the United States. He has two more books in process, and he's not an ivory tower academician either, and not exclusively anyway. I don't know if I can call it a chink in his armor, if I'd better describe it as fighting the good fight in the political arena, but he happens to be a member of Billy Steiger's Rule 29 Committee, which is supposed to be reforming the Republican Party from within. So these two gentlemen come to us with unique insights, both from within government, within the party structure, and as critical observers of the Washington scene. We have agreed that they will each speak for about 22 minutes, at which time I will use the chairman's prerogatives, and that should give us adequate time for discussion, which I hope will be lively and interesting. Howie, do you want to start?